Have you ever looked for something specific but had a hard time finding it? Years ago, I looked for a plastic container that I could put my hydraulic jack in. I have this hydraulic jack to jack up the car whenever I do work on my car and eventually break that and have to get it fixed by somebody else. But I got this hydraulic jack for $20, and every time I would drive my car, because it was on wheels, because I left it in the car, the jack would slide all over the trunk, and it really made a mess of the trunk. So I was looking for a container, a plastic container, and I knew they had them, because if you would go out and buy one then, you could actually get it in the plastic container. I went around to every store trying to find a place. I even called the manufacturer of one that had a plastic container to see if I could just buy the plastic container, because I already had the jack. I looked, and literally for probably a year and a half, looking different places, different stores, calling different people, never found one. Never found one. In the time that we have left this morning, I want you to consider with me the value of man. The value of man is what I believe Hebrews 2, 5 through 9 is explaining to us. I want you to think about when you look for something and can't find it, that is what should happen if you look for value in man apart from Christ. It's going to take you an impossibly long time to ever find it. After a word of warning in the first four verses of chapter 2, the warning to pay attention to what the Lord has taught us, to pay attention to the voice of God through His Son, the writer of Hebrews teaches us the true value of man in verses 5 through 9. In our concluding moments, I'd like to look at this passage. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all these things put under him, referring to just man. But, in verse 9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Apart from Jesus, man has no value. Apart from Jesus, you have no true and lasting value. You may find this statement hard to believe. After all, you look around and you see many valuable people in your eyes. People that have valuable talents, perhaps, like the ones that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl this evening. Seattle and Pittsburgh, the men that are playing there have tremendous athletic talent. But think about how valuable their talent really is. Is that talent that will last? Or is it there for a certain amount of time, for a short career, and then it will vanish away? Well, you look around and you see, what about the value of those who have great insight? What about those geniuses and the inventors that make our lives more physically pleasurable and even more comfortable? Think about the people that have created the lights and the motor car and all the different creature comforts that we enjoy. We think, oh, how valuable they must have been so that we can live lives of comfort. But again, will those valuable insights of theirs last? Then you think of people that are rich and have great possessions, and you think, oh, what valuable possessions they have. Million-dollar homes like the one Bill Gates owns. His home is valued at over $53 million. It expanses over 11,500 feet. But my question for you is, will his, quote-unquote, valuable possessions last? When you see people with value, you are not assessing them and seeing them the way God sees them and assesses them. As it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You may see value in things that are physical from the outward appearance, but God sees value in the heart. You are looking on the outward appearance many times when you see value in man. You're impressed. And you consider that what they are or what they have or what they do is valuable. But God looks on the heart and He is not impressed. Because apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, man has no true and lasting value. In fact, the Lord doesn't even consider them to be valued. Apart from Jesus, man has no value. And I want you this morning to look and try to find some value in man the way that God sees man. I want you to think about not value in possessions or value in talents or value in money or all these different things that we consider valuable, but consider value from God's standpoint, in God's eyes. And I believe that you will find this effort to be futile, because apart from Christ, man has no value. First, I want you to look around at what man is. Keep your finger in the book of Hebrews and turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1. To find out what man is, we need to go back to the book of Genesis, where man first took the stage, when Jesus Christ and God the Father spoke man into existence in his world in which we live. In Genesis 1, 26, it says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." Genesis 1, 26. "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then jump over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and we see a description of how God made man. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I believe that according to these verses, as we look at what man is, that any value that man has, God gave. Any value that man has, God gave. Man has no intrinsic value apart from that which God gave. We see that man is formed of the dust of the ground. That is what we really are. And that is what, when we die, we return to. Is that not correct? We turn to dust and ashes. If God did not make you in his image, if God did not make you after his likeness, as he reveals in Genesis 1, if God did not give you the breath of life, you and I would still be a lump of dust, and we would have no value. Now let's return back to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Again, in this passage, we see that any value that man has, God gave. Verses 5 through 8 is a quote, is a passage that is quoted from Psalm 8, 4 through 6, a passage that we can look at and assess the value, the true value of man. If it wasn't for the value that God gave man, man would have no value. And we see in these verses two very probing questions. Questions that should infiltrate your heart so that you really assess your own value before God apart from Jesus Christ. The first question that we read is this: "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Again, in verse 6 of Hebrews 2, it says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying," this question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" This question is addressed to God, the one who created and one who formed and made them. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" the question is asked to God. This is an important question, a probing question that you and I should have on our hearts before God. "Who am I that you are mindful of me, Lord?" Mindful here means to remember and to turn to someone in grace and mercy. Most of us have faltering memories. We may have remembered things back from years gone by, but so often as we get older and older and older, our memories start to fade and we lose some of that memory that God gave us. So you're nodding your heads, yes, in agreement. It happens. But have you ever called someone or some place or some event to mind that happened in your past and you thought, "Oh, that was fun," or, "Oh yeah, I knew that person," or, "Oh, that was a neat idea or a neat thing," and then you just went on your merry way? It was a memory that had no relevance. It was a memory perhaps that really had no impact on your life. It didn't change what you did. It just was something that you recollected and you went on your way. The word mindful here is not just one that God remembers and says, "Oh yeah, I know that person," or, oh yeah, I know who that is, but rather it is a mindful remembrance. It's a recollection with a desire and a goal to turn to that person and to help. Perhaps you've remembered people in your life. "I wonder what so-and-so is doing now." And so you take the time and the effort to go to the yellow pages or the white pages or on the internet and try to find out who this person is and where they live. And then you try to call them and find out what they're doing and to establish that relationship again. We need to understand that God is mindful of us. God thinks about us, and God turns to us in grace and mercy. And the question that should come to mind is, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Who am I that you would think about me and turn to me in grace and mercy? Why do you, O God, even remember me, seeing that I am really so insignificant and undeserving? This thought, this question, this goes against what popular culture keeps trying to tell you. The desire that people have to build up your self-esteem, saying you are valuable, God does need you, and you are significant and deserve better. But what does the Bible say? The Bible teaches that apart from Christ, man has no value. In fact, in the book of Job, it says that you and I are like worms, of very little value. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says that you are a drop in a bucket. Very small, very little, very insignificant. He also further describes in Isaiah 40:15 that you and the nations are a speck of dust. Yesterday, I had to go and buy us a vacuum cleaner because our old one broke down. And I bought this vacuum that has a nifty little feature. It has right on the side an attachment that has a duster. And so we were trying to figure out how all this worked. And the duster is supposed to be charged electrostatically so that it can collect other dust. When we think about dusting, we just want to get rid of it. We don't want to see it anymore. It is so small and so annoying. God says that you and I are specks of dust if it wasn't for Christ in our lives. In fact, in Isaiah 40:17, He describes you and me as less than nothing apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, man has no value. But has that question ever really crossed your mind? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who am I that you would think about me and visit me and show me and shower your blessings and grace upon me? Who am I? When you truly understand that man has no value apart from Christ, you and I will understand what gives us value in Christ. There's a second probing question in this passage, and that is this: or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Not only what is man that thou art mindful of him, but what is man or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? That word visit means to look after and to take care of. The Greek word is episkopos, from which we get the word episcopal. Episcopal, to watch over, to pastor, to oversee. And to think that God oversees us and watches over us and takes care of us. It should be an astounding thought when we realize that we as humans, apart from Christ, have no value. We lost that value when we fell and sinned. God visits those like us, like a doctor who visits a patient and takes responsibility for the treatment and care. From time to time, we might go visit a friend or visit somebody just to say hi. Sometimes we come together in church and shake hands and say, good to see you. Oh, it's been a wonderful week. How has your week been? And we go our separate ways after this place and we never think about each other again till the next Sunday. God is not that type of overseer. God visits and takes care of and strengthens and enables you to do what He desires you to do. So why does God even look after me, seeing that I am really so rebellious and undeserving? Has that question ever crossed your mind? Why, God, do you visit me? Man has no value apart from Christ. But, as we see further in this passage, any value that man has, God gave. Any value that man has, God gave. Just like in the book of Genesis. If it wasn't for God creating that person and forming it into His image and giving him the breath of life, you and I would still be lumps of clay, still in the dirt, still in the ground, and the animals would be tromping all over us. It was God that gave us value. It was God that made us into His image. And it is now God who gives value to your life. It is not you or anything that you've done or could do. It is strictly what God has given. Any value man has, God gave. And let's look at this passage. It says in verse 7, thou, referring to God, thou madest him, referring to mankind, to you and me, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Wow. That's quite a step up, isn't it? From being a lump of dirt to being just a little lower than the angels. Sometimes we look at this from the other standpoint thinking, well, God didn't make us quite as high as the angels, but He made us better than dirt. He gave us and made us into His image. He gave us the breath of life so that we could be a living soul. Any position that you have, God gave. He placed you, a lump of dust, to be a little lower than the angels. It's nothing that we did. It's nothing that you and I could ever do. It's what God did. In fact, any honor that you have, God gave. It goes on in verse 7, thou crownest him, referring to mankind again, with glory and honor. He gave man glory and honor. He crowned them over all his creation. He crowned him so that they could have a relationship, a personal walk with God. He gave you a lump of dust, glory and honor. But it's nothing that you did. It's nothing that you could ever do. Any value man has, God gave. In fact, it goes on in verse 7, that he did set him, mankind, over the works of his hands. In other words, any power that you have, also God gave. Again, he gave you a lump of dust, the works of his hands. And look back at verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put in all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Think about what God has enabled man to do. To cultivate fields, to grow crops, to actually harness the energy of the atom. Anything that God, that man has of value, God gave. Because apart from God, man has no value. But if you look for value in man apart from God, you're not going to find any true and lasting value. It says in verse 8, the last phrase, we do not see yet all things put under him. In other words, man's value is incomplete. Man apart from Christ has no value because it's incomplete because there's no Christ. Go ahead, look around. Try to find someone of value from God's standpoint apart from the Lord. And when you can't, number two, look up to see who the Son of God is. Look at verse 9, the first phrase, the first few words. But we see Jesus. This is the first time in this book that the Son of God is mentioned as having a name. In Hebrews 1 and early Hebrews 2, it talks about the Son of God. And now the Son of God has a name. It is revealed to us as Jesus. And what a name it is. What a name. That beautiful name, that beautiful name. From sin has the power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And when you look around to find value in man and find none, then look at Jesus, the Savior. And you don't have to look any further. Because all that man was intended by God to be, Jesus fulfills. Christ is valuable. Christ has all value. And if you desire to have a valuable life, you must have Christ in your life. Any value man has, God gave. It says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. In other words, he became like unto us. He became a man, God manifest in the flesh. But he did so for the suffering of death. He did it so that you and I could have life through his death. And he goes on, he was also crowned with glory and honor, just like us, so that he could, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. Any value man has, God gave through his Son, the Savior, Jesus. He did it by his grace. That word taste in verse 9 doesn't mean just a sample, because sometimes you might think that, well, if I'm going to taste something, it's just going to be a taste test. I may not like it. Sometimes I go to a Chinese restaurant and I'll ask for a sample of this, that, and the other, just to see if I like it. And usually I'll have a tall cup of Coke so I can wash it down with, if it's too hot, if it doesn't taste very good. But the word taste here doesn't just mean a sample. God, through Jesus Christ, didn't just sample your death and your suffering in your life. No, he actually experienced it all. It was the full course experience. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That is how man can have value, through Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that apart from Jesus, apart from the one that we celebrated in our Lord's Supper this morning, you have no true and lasting value. Don't you want your life to have value? Most people do. Very few people grow up wanting to be a homeless person doing dumpster diving to get their latest meal. Very few people have the aspiration of being a bum. Most people want to have a life of value. But you need to understand what real value is. Real value is not valuable talents or valuable insight or valuable possessions. Real value comes from the value that comes through Christ alone. How do you estimate your value apart from Christ? Do you think, well, I'm okay. Or do you ask the questions, the probing questions that were mentioned in this passage? Do you really understand your value apart from Christ? Do you really ask these questions? Who am I, Lord, that thou art mindful of me? I don't deserve your gracious remembrance. because apart from you, Lord, I have no value? Or do you ask this question, who am I, Lord, that thou visitest me? I don't deserve your loving care, because apart from you, Lord, I have no value. But how do you estimate the value of Jesus? You may look around and find and try to find value in others, but if you look through God's eyes, you won't until you see Jesus. But we see Jesus. And once you see Him, you don't need to look any further. You can look, but you'll never find true and lasting value until you see Him, until you live for Him, until you love Him, until you grow into Him, until you understand that apart from Him, you have no true and lasting value. This morning, I want us to close by thinking about where our value comes from. Where does your worth come from? Anything of value that man has came from God. Do we live that way? Do we understand how valueless we are apart from Him? But then, when we see Jesus and live for Him and understand Him, how valuable our lives can be. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but because who Christ is and what He has done for us and continues to do in us. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that we see Jesus. I thank You that when we look anywhere else and try to find value in man, that we will fail, but we will not fail when we look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful worship service that we were able to participate in the Lord's Supper to consider firsthand Your grace and Your mercy upon us. And then to think that the value that comes into our lives can only come from You. It can only come from the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed on behalf of our sins. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to not look for value anywhere else, but to look unto Jesus and to find our value in Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to consider in your own life, have you asked those probing questions to the Lord? Do you understand what they mean? Have you ever wondered why God would be mindful and visit you? If you've never asked those questions or wondered those questions, perhaps you don't see how needy you really are and how needy we really are. Because apart from Christ, we have no value, no true and lasting value. But when we see Jesus and we fellowship with Him and He is our focus and our life, then there is value. Father, I pray again that You will help us to find our value in Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.